Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And a jolly good morning to you. I'm Kathy Kayla, and this is 101.9 Chai FM, Dis-Chem Medical Monday. Today is, it is Monday, the 11th of March, 2024. Yes, just checking. And today is mostly sunny. It'll reach a high of 25 degrees, which is definitely a relief from the 35 degrees that we have been experiencing. Thank you so much for joining me, your team this morning. My sound engineer is Craig Guthrie. My content producer is Harry Seleke, also known as Slick. And you, of course, you're part of the team. And how you can participate in being part of the team is, if you've got any questions about the topic that I'll tell you about in a minute, then you can get in touch and you can send an SMS to the studio or a Telegram message. You can also send voice notes if you like. You can email us, you can tweet us. So let me give you all of those details. If you'd like to send an SMS to the studio, the number is 34519. Those SMS that SMS is going to cost you R1.50 or VAS rates. That means that whatever your mobile carrier charges you, that's what you're going to be charged. So that number again, 34519. You can send me a message on Telegram. That's a free app, and that number is 061-895-1019 or 1019, just like the station. You can tweet at Chai FM, CHAIFM, or you can email on air at chaifm.com, or if you put .co.za, it's not going to come through. You've got to put .com. So I learned something recently that I found very, very interesting, and that is in our life cycles. When think of yourself as a baby, right? You're introduced to your family, and you start with your very first network. It's a very small network, but then you introduce to your cousins, to your extended family, and your social network gets bigger. You might go to play school and you meet new friends who are not related to your family, and your social network gets bigger. Then you go to nursery school, primary school, high school, right throughout. We are constantly developing new social networks, constantly, throughout our lives. It happens not only, it's not only age-related and peer-related, but think of it that when you got married, your network started focusing on other married couples with whom you had a lot in common. When you had a child, you start hanging out and socializing with other people with young children because you have so much in common. And so it goes throughout our lives until the day that we retire. When we retire, our networks, for the first time in our lives, start diminishing and start getting smaller and smaller and smaller. There are different elements that are introduced into our lives, like loneliness, perhaps ill health. One of those elements is an element that is little understood, unfortunately, and I feel that there is definitely not enough research done into it, and that is our memories. Our memories get affected profoundly. Sometimes our memories, it's just forgetfulness, right? I know with my own family, incredible cognitive abilities. The same with a lot of my older friends. Fantastic cognitive abilities. But sometimes can't think of that person's name, can't think of that word. I mean, I'm 53 and it happens to me, darn it. You know, it doesn't mean that there is something untoward. I think that a certain amount of memory loss can be prevented if it isn't what we're going to be discussing today. and that is Alzheimer's and dementia. There are two separate conditions, very similar and equally limited in our understanding of them. So if you have any questions, I would love you to get in touch. 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019. If you've missed any contact details, just get to chaifm.com and you can get the details there, or download our free app. You can do that on chaifm.com as well. My guest this morning is Peter Diale. Peter is a nursing services manager at Waverley Gardens Memory Care Dementia Facility. And good morning and welcome. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank welcome. You very, very much.
Yeah, and good morning to the listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming through this morning. Peter, may I call you Peter?
Yes.
I don't have to call you sister.
No.
Okay. So, what is the difference? Let's start with the basics.
Yes.
What is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
Okay, with regard to Alzheimer's and dementia, there's no difference.
So why do they have different names?
The difference is dementia is the umbrella term of all the dementias. So underneath dementia, we've got Alzheimer's, we've got vascular dementia, we've got Lewy body dementia.
That's what Robin Williams had, right?
Yes, yes. And we also have got frontotemporal lobe dementia. So all of them, they fall under one name, which is dementia.
Okay, yeah. See, and the things I learned on HIFM.
These four ones are regarded as the progressive dementias.
Okay.
We still have other dementias like the Parkinson's, like the Huntington's. Yeah, and also the other ones which are related to diseases like HIV, yeah.
HIV dementia?
Yes, HIV-related dementia.
Okay, what we're focusing on, though, is not HIV dementia. Yeah. Thank you for that. That's an excellent explanation. Yeah. All these different, so dementia is the umbrella,
yes.
And Alzheimer's is one of the dementias.
Yeah, one of the
okay,
dementias.
So let's talk about dementia as an umbrella, because I think that that's going to be the most informative, rather than just focusing on Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Okay, so how is it diagnosed? I mean, what are the early symptoms? What is the difference between forgetting something and being overly forgetful? What's that line?
Yeah, forgetting, normal forgetting, I'll start with the normal forgetting. Normal forgetting is when you know, it happens to all of us. Everybody has that, where you put something and you forget where you put it. But later on, you can remember where you put it. That thing.
Well, usually when you find it.
Yeah, that is normal forgetting.
Yes.
But with regard to Alzheimer's, that's where you totally forget and you can't remember where you put something.
Okay.
You totally forget and you don't have the ability to remember.
It's just gone.
It's just gone.
So is it short-term memory loss or is it long-term?
So Alzheimer's, it's long-term memory loss.
So you'd actually forget your childhood? You'd forget things in the past?
Yeah. No, I mean it's short-term.
Short-term, oh.
It's short-term, but with the long-term, they are able to remember things that happened long ago.
Yes.
But maybe she eats breakfast now and you ask her, what did you eat? She is not able to tell you what she ate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe you introduce yourself to her. Later on, after 5 minutes, you ask her, who am I? She can't remember. But she will remember her father that passed on in the late years and was buried then. So she can remember that. But with what happened recently,
Would it be all short-term memories?
Yes.
Or would you be able to remember certain short-term memories?
Yeah, certain short-term memories. Others can be able to remember long-term memories, but not all of them.
Yes.
You know, certain things.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So my guest this morning, we're talking about dementias. We're going to be focusing on Alzheimer's. And my guest is Peter Diale. You can hear, very knowledgeable. He's a nursing services manager at Waverley Gardens Memory Care Dementia Facility. If you've got any questions, if perhaps you have a loved one or you want to give feedback, you want to participate, you want to share your own insight, then I'm inviting you to do so. I would really love to hear from you. 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019 on Telegram.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, let's not focus on Alzheimer's, but all the progressive
dementias. Are they more common? We tend to focus on Alzheimer's.
They are more common. Yeah, they are more common because Alzheimer's is the first one, yes. And then it progresses till to the frontotemporal
dementia. I never realized that. So you actually start off with, with Alzheimer's, and then it becomes something else?
Yes.
And then it becomes something else with a different name, different classification?
Yeah, you know, I usually like to compare it to, even though cancer is something that can be cured.
Yes.
So I compare it with cancer because it starts somewhere and it affects other parts of the brain.
Yes.
Until you have mixed type of dementia.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So how is it diagnosed?
Okay.
How do we know when we should go and get tested?
You know, when you realize that somebody is starting to forget things, somebody is starting to lose their ability to do simple tasks that he used to do, you know, they will be having signs like, you know, they can't manage their finances, they've got difficulty managing their finances, they can't do simple tasks, and also activities that they used to do, they now become, you know, they are reluctant to do those activities. Then that's where you need to get worried.
So it's so interesting that you say that about not being able to complete simple tasks.
Yeah.
Because trauma can do the same thing.
Yes.
So on the 7th of October, there were these terrible attacks in Israel. And I think that I'm speaking for the global Jewish community, not to bring politics into this, but we were thrust into a state of trauma that was incomparable. And, you know, my cognitive abilities were pretty okay. But even I found that with that trauma, and until I received counseling, I just could not complete the simplest tasks. I don't think that I'm alone in that, and I don't think that that is dementia or Alzheimer's.
No.
I think that trauma can do that, and I've heard that depression can also make or have an impact on one's memory and ability to complete tasks. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, like I mentioned, that we've got progressive dementias and non-progressive dementias. That is dementias that can be reversed. It's like traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
Like depression.
Yes.
Like HIV-related dementia. Yes. Those ones can be corrected with counselings and with treatment. But with regard to progressive dementias, which is Alzheimer's, vascular dementia,
yes,
Lewy body dementia, and frontotemporal lobe dementia.
Yes.
Those are progressive dementia and cannot be reversed by any treatment.
Is there any connection between, depression earlier in life and Alzheimer's, or a dementia later in life?
No, one is a risk factor of the other.
Oh, so so depression is a risk factor
of Alzheimer's,
Oh, that is interesting. My gosh, we need to do more of these shows more often because there's so much more information that there was since the last time I did a show on Alzheimer's and dementia. If you have a question, then please will you let me know? Send it through. I will ask my guest. You can hear he is very, very knowledgeable and explaining a lot. I feel like I'm on a learning curve. Thank you very, very much. So my guest is Peter Diale. He is the Nursing Services Manager at Waverley Gardens Memory Care Dementia Facility. Give us a shout. 34519 is the SMS line. Those SMSs are charged at R1.50 or VAS rates. You can also send a message on Telegram, and that number is 061-895-1019.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And thank you so much to Dis-Chem for allowing this Medical Monday show. And to be able to speak to Peter, you know, well, guests, the caliber of Peter. Mm-hmm. And my guest this morning is Peter Diale. Peter is a nursing services manager at Waverley Gardens Memory Care Dementia Facility. Now, something that I didn't know is that there are different stages of dementia. If you've only just joined us now, where have you been? You've missed out a lot. I'm just saying. Hashtag just saying. But what I am going to do is I'm going to very quickly go through the types of dementia. So dementia, as Peter was saying, is dementia is the term. It's an umbrella term. But underneath that umbrella are a whole lot of different kinds of dementias that you may or may not have heard of before. One is Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's, think of it as the entry-level dementia, right? These are all progressive dementias. From Alzheimer's, you go to vascular dementia. From vascular dementia, you go to Lewy body disease. From Lewy body disease, it goes to frontotemporal dementia. From that, it goes to alcohol. No, it's not alcohol related. That's a separate, something separate. Yeah. Alcohol related dementia you can get. I think that that is a real thing. Down syndrome and Alzheimer's disease, HIV-associated dementia, and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is CTE dementia. All right, so let's start with, with Alzheimer's. You said if you're forgetting things, if you no longer have the cognitive ability to do certain things, you can't be in control of your finances. I need to go for a test, apparently, according to these criteria. But no, in all seriousness, if you cannot explain the change in your behavior, in your mood, in your abilities, in your cognitive abilities, then and you can't attribute it to either a trauma or depression, then you should go and get tested. Yes. Who would one go and see to get diagnosed and have a test? Would you see your GP? Who would do the test?
You see your geriatric physician.
Okay.
Your neurologist.
Yes.
Your psychiatrist.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Are there certain medications that one could take that might kind of mask some symptoms of dementia or even present symptoms of dementia?
You know, there's no medication that can cure or delay the Alzheimer's or any dementia. The only thing that needs to be done is this person needs to be, remember, it's the memory that is affected.
Yes.
If I may go on further, what happens, everything is affected in the memory. With the Alzheimer's, that's where we have the plaques and the tangles.
Right.
Yeah, those are the proteins that are lodged in the body.
So remember, flakes and the tangles.
Flakes and tangles, okay. Plaques, yeah. So
The plaques, the plaques and the tangles. Plaques,
yeah. Okay. Remember, everything that goes in, it needs to go out.
Yes.
Through excretion.
Right.
Yeah. But now there are those stubborn proteins that remains in the body system.
Yes.
And they need to have a place where they're going to lodge and stay there. So apparently they end up in the brain. inside the brain cells and within the brain cells, whereby they constrict the brain cells, and the brain cells becomes constricted and they die off and they don't function.
Plaques and tangles, yeah. Huh?
And then,
so how much is lifestyle related to, okay, all right, let me let you finish.
And then we go to the vascular dementia, vascular vessels. Yeah, so it's the vessels that transport the blood to the brain.
Your veins.
So they are also affected.
Yes.
And there is insufficient oxygen and certain minerals that are needed in the brain. They can't reach the brain. So it end up causing the brain cells to be affected and they cannot communicate to each other.
Do we know why blood vessels would constrict?
Blood vessels, it's like when you have things like cholesterol, okay. You are a smoker,
right.
You are an alcoholic, all those things, you know.
High blood pressure.
Yeah, all those things, they attach themselves to the blood, to the blood vessels inside. Yes. And do you still remember the coal stove that uses chimneys?
Yes, yes.
For smoke?
Yes.
Do you know what happens if you don't clean the chimney?
Yes, you get soot.
It gets blocked.
Yes.
With the smoke that attaches to the chimney. And that's where now the smoke gets in the house and, that's what happens to the blood vessels.
That's
because
fascinating.
That things, the smoke, the tar and whatever, they attach on the inside of the blood vessels.
Yes.
On the lining of the blood vessels. And it causes constriction of those blood vessels. And the blood struggles to flow through to where it needed, mostly in the brain. Remember, the brain is the engine of a person.
Of everything.
Yeah, it's the engine of everybody. So once the engine is not getting whatever it needs to get, then there's a problem. There's a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So go and get your blood, your blood pressure treated as well, for sure, right? Okay, so we've spoken about Alzheimer's, vascular, Lewy body disease. What is that?
Yeah, Lewy body disease also deals with the plaques and the tangles, the proteins that are not going through.
Right.
Yeah. What I forgot with the Alzheimer's, it's also genetic, meaning that the family that have got Alzheimer's, there is a possibility of it going through to the generations that follows.
Why does that terrify me?
Yeah.
Isn't that terrifying?
No, it is. It is. Yeah, because especially with Alzheimer's, if there is a person with Alzheimer's history, there's a possibility that the following generations will have dementia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to the Lewy body. Yeah,
the Lewy body is whereby now, it's the third stage of this dementia as it progresses. Remember, it's from Alzheimer's, it went into vascular, it comes now to Lewy body. Dementia. Vascular is only related to the blood vessels.
Right.
With people who've got cholesterol, you've got high blood pressure and all those things, and also things that can contribute to constricting the blood vessels.
Right.
Yeah. And then Lewy body dementia is another stage whereby a person now cognitively, she's not able to do things, perform tasks that he used to perform. He tends to, he's not aware of what's happening around him.
That's like a very out of it kind of state. So that's quite interesting, because somebody who was very famous and who certainly brought this onto my radar was the late comedian and actor Robin Williams.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I'm understanding, and I could be completely wrong and it wouldn't be the first time today, that what you're saying, that based on what you've said, Well, Robin Williams had Alzheimer's disease. It became the vascular dementia. And at the stage of where it was Lewy Body disease, he made a very, very profound life-changing decision and took his own life.
Yeah.
How does somebody with Lewy Body disease in that state do that? If they're out there?
Do what?
Take their own life. Robin Williams took his own life, you know, remember, and he had been diagnosed with Lewy Body disease.
Remember, in this stage also, the judgment is very poor.
Yes.
You know, they cannot make reasonable decisions, and the judgment becomes very, very poor. So what they think, they act on it, you know. If he thinks that, you know, I think I've suffered enough, I need to take out my life, then he takes his life.
And yet it was so calculated. Yeah. Okay, yeah. that is a worry. And then finally, this was the final one, is frontotemporal.
Frontotemporal is the last one.
Is the last one.
And with the frontotemporal lobe dementia, that's where now there is this poor communication. You know, in the brains, we've got the brain cells, and inside the brain cells there are neurons and neurotransmitters. So what happens is those neurons and neurotransmitters, they get affected, they get blocked.
Okay.
And there's no transmission of communication to the other part of the brain.
Right.
So there's an interruption between the frontal and the temporal lobe, that is why it's called frontotemporal lobe dementia. There is totally a cut between the communication between the two. Because remember, all these things happens in the brain, and every communication is in the brain. For you to see, for you to talk, for you to touch,
breathing, everything.
For you to feel, everything is communicated in the brain before you can act to that message. The message is from the brain that, you know, something is biting you on your arm, so you need to scratch yourself. So that's where the problem is. When it's at the frontotemporal lobe stage, that's where now a person is not able, you know, it affects the physical ability of a person to do things. And it also affects the swallowing, the vision, the elimination, like toileting, and now they use the
bags.
The bags, the urine bags, and they end up with the PEG tubes where they are being fed, because now, remember,
they can't chew, they can't swallow.
They can't chew, so they can't swallow, and they...
Does the dementia patient who's suffering with frontotemporal dementia, are they aware of their surroundings?
No.
Do they have any cognitive, or where they've kind of like come back? And they are alert and they're able to engage, or is that?
No. That is now, they are going towards the end of their life now.
Where does the last stage, let me think about how to put this. So somebody, as I understand, with Alzheimer's, right, you have times where they're very aware and times where they not.
Yeah.
Right, and as it progresses, so the times where they're not aware gets more.
Yes.
And the times where they are aware and they are present gets less.
As the
disease progresses.
Yes.
Where is the last stage where they are present? Where's the last stage? I mean, somebody who's got Lewy body disease, right?
You know,
are they aware of their surroundings? Are they aware of their family? Can they engage? Would they recognize you? They see you every day, they've known you their whole life, and they'd say, "Hello, Peter."
No.
They wouldn't.
Sometimes they do engage, but when it comes to the frontotemporal lobe dementia, that is the latter stage now, where they, you know, everything is shattered now.
Right.
Yeah. And As the dementia progresses,
yes,
also the risk of getting infections increases.
What kind of infections?
Infections that, like urinary tract infections, like respiratory tract infections, they get more. And mostly the respiratory tract infection is the worst one because they can die. Even the urinary tract infection, if not detected earlier and treated, it can be fatal.
Is urinary tract infections directly related to dementia? Or is it just something that is, as we get older, we become more susceptible to it?
It's a risk factor that goes with dementia. Because remember now, they end up neglecting their self-care. You know, they end up messing themselves. So if they are not taken care of, the risk of infections becomes small and it can become fatal.
Are the patients aware of this?
No, the patients are not aware.
They're not actually aware of this at that stage.
Yeah. In fact, we don't call them patients, we call them residents.
Okay, well, you call them residents.
Yes.
I'm looking at it like I'm just thinking, somebody who's suffering from dementia is not a resident to me, they're a patient. Right, okay, so, all right. So, okay, if you've got any questions, get in touch. 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019. I'm Kathy Kayla. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday. It is Monday, the 11th of March. And thank you so much. My guest is Peter Diale. He's a nursing services manager at Waverley Gardens Memory Care Dementia Facility. If you've got any questions, let us know. Now, before we do that, I want to tell you that Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure, or cholesterol, again, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and done with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're on 101.9 High FM. I'm Kathy Kayla, and this is Dis-Chem Medical Monday. We're talking about the dementias. We've been talking about progressive dementias. And if you've missed that, let me tell you that the progressive dementias, you think of dementia being an umbrella. We've got Alzheimer's, which is the entry level, then which becomes vascular dementia, which becomes Lewy body disease, which becomes frontotemporal dementia. And I don't think that I have ever heard of a more devastating disease, because it doesn't just affect the patient, it affects the families. People become unrecognizable. It is devastating. There's just no words. It is completely devastating. I cannot understand why there isn't more research being done into dementia or into these dementias, and educating people around the world about how to live better. What is it? Is there something that we are doing that we could do better or less of or more of, so that we can, not develop any kind of dementia? So that really leads to one of our listeners, Bendita. Thank you so much, Bendita. She says, can one do anything to prevent Alzheimer's and dementia? Great question. Thanks, Bendita.
Yes, well, sorry. Something can be done to prevent Alzheimer's and dementia. One of the things is, there is always this saying, people perish because of lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah, but now there is a lot of knowledge available, and people perish because of the lack of implementing the knowledge that they have. Yeah, you know, there are certain things that contributes towards development of Alzheimer's
and
dementia.
Okay, give us the list.
Yeah, it's lack of exercise.
Lack of exercise, right.
Nutrition. Yes.
Okay.
And social activities.
Yes.
Failure to perform social activities.
Yes.
And failures to perform occupational activities. Social activities is where you interact.
Sure.
You know, people tend to isolate themselves from the life that they used to live.
Yes.
That is of interaction, going to have fun, you know, going to movies, going to see friends, talking to friends, failure to do physical exercises, you know, taking a walk. A person will jump into a car just to go 3 blocks away from here, just to get something, a loaf of bread. He jumps into the car, go there and come back, instead of walking there and coming back.
We don't use what we have. Abilities.
Yeah. Yeah. So people fail to continue reading books, especially the generation now. They fail to read books. They rely mostly on, you know, simple
social media. People read the headlines, not the story.
They want information quicker.
Yeah, you know? There's no critical thinking.
Yeah,
There's no critical thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Those things, they affect the memory.
What about things like puzzles, doing puzzles like Sudoku and word games and things like that?
That is occupational activities. That is where you do the puzzles, the board games.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of activities like the puzzles, the word puzzles.
Yes.
And also the block puzzles. Yeah. All those puzzles, they do help in stimulating the memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, your memory gets stimulated. Reading the books, you stimulate your memory. You keep your memory functional rather than the memory staying there and, you know, just staying there and relaxing and doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Peter, Mavis, one of our listeners in Israel, she's listening to us in Israel. Hello, Mavis. She says, is there a connection between aluminium and Alzheimer's? She's American, so I better say aluminum. Aluminium. I remember hearing that. Aluminium foil apparently is terrible and it causes Alzheimer's. Now, that's what I heard years ago. I don't know if that's true or if that isn't. Are you aware of anything like that?
You know, there is a saying that aluminium causes a relation with dementia.
Yes.
But scientifically, it's not that proven.
Because we do everything, especially in our community.
Yeah, we use aluminium everywhere.
Yeah. It's the same as plastics.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. Well, it's interesting.
So there is that say that aluminium has something to do with Alzheimer's, but it's not scientifically proven.
Yeah. Can we talk about the families? We've spoken a lot about the patients, but can we talk about the families? Because I think that it is very, very difficult for families when a parent has dementia.
Yes, with regard...
They become unrecognizable. Sometimes a very calm person can become very angry.
Yes.
And they get angry over nothing.
Yes.
And it's like, this is not my family member anymore. What do they do?
You know, this one is a serious engagement, ne? When it comes to families.
Yes.
Because just remember, ne? If someone in your family have got those symptoms of Alzheimer's dementia and you have been with this person for
Your whole life,
you know, separating from this person, it becomes a problem.
Sure.
Because
we are look at after that our stage parents,
where,
don't we?
At that stage where she presents with anger, frustration, you know, all those things, being violent and all those things, that's when he or she is supposed to be in a facility. But now it becomes a problem for the families to put them you know, to separate from them.
Definitely.
They've got this mixed feeling that they are abandoning their loved ones, that they have been with them for almost all their life.
Yes.
So it becomes very terrible. And these people, they when it comes to those things, ne, they take advantage of the loved ones. Remember, the loved one is not trained on taking care of dementia person, so she doesn't know what to do. She also gets frustrated, and she won't be able to handle this person. Right. And that's where the aggression becomes worse, because, you know, they will be shouting, you know, they expect them, you know, you have been doing things normal, now what changed? They expect them to continue doing things the way they used to do them, you know, forgetting that it's a condition that needs a skillful person to attend, you know.
Very important, because, you know,
they will also argue with them, and there's no point in arguing with a person who has dementia, because he cannot.
There's no critical thinking.
Yeah, there's no critical thinking. She can't make any sense.
Yeah. Peter, lots of messages coming through. Unsigned says, is ketamine therapy ever used to create physiological changes to the brain, creating different pathways to remediate Alzheimer's and dementia? That's a very complicated question.
Yeah.
So, for my 5-year-old brain, is ketamine therapy ever used to create physiological changes to brain, creating different pathways to remediate Alzheimer's and dementia? So I don't know what ketamine does. Are you aware of it?
Ketamine, I think it's a vitamin or a protein, if I'm not wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. Maybe if you can just explain a little bit more that question, then I think we'd be very grateful. So Carol also says, morning, Kathy. Well, I know someone who did all that he says one should do, and she still got dementia, so who knows? Yeah, you know what? When it's hereditary, it's hereditary.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose if your parents had it, maybe it's not a guarantee. Is it a guarantee that you'll get it?
It's not a guarantee, but you are likely.
Yes.
You know, you are likely to get it, but it's not a guarantee.
It's so interesting, because years ago I had a private zoo, and during school holidays I would take my animals off to one of the OT homes, departments at one of the old age homes, and after going, you know, one term, I got a phone call from them saying, please can you come back, but we're gonna take you to a specific ward for the Alzheimer patients.
Yeah.
And please just bring the rabbits. Okay, so I went with my staff and we went with the rabbits, and I remember walking into this room and there was a lady, she was sitting there, the curtains were closed. So I'm thinking, no visual stimulation. Everything's quiet, so there's no audio stimulation, and she's sitting there and she's holding her handbag and she's just staring. She's in a catatonic state. She's not responsive, she's not smiling, she's not doing anything. And I took this little rabbit, his name was Snowflake, and he was adorable. He was a very, very furry little dwarf rabbit, and I put him in her lap. I put her bag next to her and I took her hand and I started stroking the rabbit, and must have done that, and I kept saying to her, can you feel how soft it is? His name is Snowflake, and he's a dwarf rabbit, he's white. I mean, she wasn't even looking down, it made no difference. And after doing that for about 3.5 minutes, she said, oh, I hope he doesn't pee on me.
Yeah.
And she came back. And I said to her, did you ever have... You know, it got to a stage where I could even ask her what she remembered, and she remembered that she didn't remember. She said to me, I said to her, did you ever have pets growing up? And she said to me, oh, my dear, I don't remember. Now, I can't tell you her name. It's confidential,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
But She's no longer with us, unfortunately. But the lady who ran the OT department went and she did her master's on the relationship between animal interaction and that tactile stimulation in patients. And there's so much that goes into it. I mean, you're involved in the care of dementia patients.
Yes.
Do you subscribe to that? Do you use anything like that with tactile therapies?
Yeah, firstly, let me say dementia affects also all the five senses. The sense of smell, sense of touch, sense of vision, sense of hearing. Yeah, so it does. We also do that type of therapy where our occupational therapy will bring some dogs to the facility and they, you know, they like them.
Yeah.
And we also arrange with the animal zoo to bring the animals at our facility and they like it. You know, they like animals. We also have a cat.
It's an amazing thing that, right?
We also have a cat in the village.
Yes.
Yeah. Her name is Violet. And, you know, she's spoiled too
I'm
much.
Sure.
Because all the residents and families, they like that cat. So there is a relationship between families and people suffering from dementia.
Okay. Yeah. We've got clarification on that ketamine question.
Okay.
So it said, hi, it's Bendita who asked the ketamine question. So her question, Bendita's question was, is ketamine therapy ever used to create physiological changes to brain, creating different pathways to remediate Alzheimer's and dementia? So she says, ketamine is a drug used for anesthesia and is specifically proven to be able to create new pathways in the brain. It's used for depression and OCD. That's so interesting. I wonder if there's any kind of research in that, because if you've got plaques and tangles, creating a new pathway might not actually benefit.
Yeah, you know,
it might not make any difference.
No, it doesn't have any difference, because also with regard to certain drugs, there are certain drugs that also cause dementia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we at our village we don't recommend, you know, drugs.
Yes.
Especially the sedative ones, because, you know, they...
I think
they also have bad side effects.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless, you know, if they are really, you know, indicated.
Yeah.
Prescribed and for certain indications. But we don't prefer them to use them, because they've got bad side effects.
Peter, why do you refer to Waverley Gardens, where you are located? Why do you refer to it as a village?
Because that's where I work, and we take care of people who suffer from Alzheimer's, all types of Alzheimer's and dementia. And, you know, I think Waverley Gardens has been recommended by a lot of people, and even the psychiatrist and the neurologist and the geriatrist, they recommend Waverley Gardens for people, for the families to bring
support
their loved ones to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you encourage patients, or as you refer to them as residents, to live independently?
Yes.
As much as possible.
We do. Remember that.
Because that's so important.
That is one of the aims of care, is for people to live independently.
That's amazing. Because I remember reading about a place in Holland.
Yeah.
That is set up like a little village.
Yes.
And I got so excited when you said village.
Yeah.
It's set up like a village. And there's a store. And the patients go to the store, they go shopping, but they don't have to handle money. The store operator, the staff in the store, as an example, are all nursing staff, and they're all medical professionals. And what they find is that it actually delays the progression of Alzheimer's or the dementia.
Yeah.
Doing that, and that's amazing. So is Waverley Gardens doing that? Is that the model?
Yes, what we don't have is the stores.
Okay. in the independent.
Yeah.
Okay,
but we will be thinking about that going forward.
Yes.
But what we do usually is to, you know, we've got four houses inside our yard. We've got four houses, and you know, it's people think that when they get there, they will find, you know, this
hospital.
Yeah, this hospital set up, and it's like a community living area.
Amazing,
know?
Absolutely
with four
amazing.
Houses with a big yard, beautiful gardens, and you know, when we have petty cash, we do take them out to go and enjoy coffee outside.
Wonderful.
We take them to the Johannesburg Zoo. We take them to the botanical gardens. You know, we take them out. You know, there is this thing. What we are avoiding by doing that is because we want to break the monotony of the environment.
So important.
Yeah.
So important. Peter, we are completely out of time. I could talk to you for another 5 hours.
Okay.
But unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap up because the next show needs to come in. We've also got to get to news. But I want to say thank you so much for coming in and for joining me this morning. I cannot believe how fast this hour has gone. That's Peter Diale. Yeah. He is a nursing services manager at Waverley Gardens Memory Care Dementia Facility. Look them up. You can go and get in touch with them. Thank you so much, Diskem. Thank you to my sound engineer, Craig Guthrie. Thank you so much to my content producer, Harry Seleke. Seleke, Harry. Slick. And I'm Kathy Kayla. Thank you so much for all of your messages. I wish you a wonderful week. I wish you a safe week and a healthy week. I'll be back next Monday. God bless. Bye.